We're ready for our last case of the day. We don't necessarily always end with a criminal case for obvious reasons, but it is the only criminal case that we're going to hear today. So, we'll call it.
Your Honors, may it please the court. The issues presented in the appellant's brief, I believe, make clear the trial court errors that took place below. In this instance, we have Dewayne James convicted of the second-degree felony offense of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. At the trial, Mr. James's trial counsel attempted to introduce evidence about a prior shooting that took place approximately 6 weeks before the incident for which Mr. James was on trial. She also attempted to introduce YouTube video of the injured party, Mr. Omar Akinlelu, where he talks about conflict that he has with various people, threats that he has received, and threats that he has given to others. The reason this particular point of error is important to Mr. James is that at the trial court level, Mr. James's counsel attempted to cross-examine Mr. Akinlelu about the prior shooting. Again, the shooting happens approximately 6 weeks earlier. We're talking August 4th, 2008, and then the incident for which Mr. James was tried happening September 18th, 2008. So I believe that's a relatively close window there. Then with the YouTube videos that get posted after the August 4th shooting, where Mr. Akinlelu was one of the apparent targets of the shooting, along with Mr. James, in terms of just giving full disclosure to the court, Mr. Akinlelu testifies in the presence of the jury that there was no one else that wanted to harm him and that there was no other conflict between he and other rappers or other members of the community. The YouTube video that the court barred from admission before the jury directly conflicts that. The failure to allow the appellant to introduce that evidence into the before the jury at the trial court effectively prevents the appellant from adequately defending himself. The credibility of Mr. Akinlelu or any witness for that matter is always an issue for the trier of fact, and the jury in this instance was kept from viewing all the information. There was information there that the trial court had, which tended to show that Mr. Akinlelu was not being completely honest, but the defense was not allowed to present that information. I believe that that was a strong point of error. Opposing counsel's brief, Your Honor, talks about a gentleman by the name of Andrew Schuster saying that the vehicle that was apparently a suspect vehicle in the August shooting, the first shooting, and Mr. Schuster testifies that the vehicle matched the description of a vehicle owned by Asian rappers. That is not the same thing as Mr. Akinlelu. Are you yourself a target? Do you yourself have conflict with other people? To which Mr. Akinlelu continually responded, no, he did not. And again, there's a series. We talk about a YouTube video. There's a series of YouTube videos that directly contradict the testimony that the injured party gave at the trial court level. And the defense, the appellant, was not allowed to present that information to the jury.
The point is, these litany of questions that are on page 8 and 9 of the state's brief, such as, is there any motive out there for why anyone else would be mad at you? All these were answered in the negative, and the only evidence that would establish that there was somebody out there, was this video. Is that where we're going? I mean, he was asked, defense counsel was asked, was allowed to ask these questions, but the answers to the questions were in the negative.
That's so correct, Your Honor.
The only positive information of motive and threats and whatnot was the YouTube video. Is that, kind of where you're going?
Yes, Your Honor. And these were videos of Mr. Akinlelu himself speaking about his conflict, threats that he's received, and threats that he's making to others. That's so, although he answers in the negative, the videos are in direct contradiction of his testimony.
And
but
why wouldn't they be admissible as prior inconsistent statements?
Well, the court had a motion in limine where the trial court entered a motion in limine where it declared that the video would have been a prior bad act. And so it was the defense wasn't allowed to admit the video.
State counsel on how that can be a bad act. So there's a hit to it.
What do you mean the court entered a motion?
There was a motion in limine made by the state, I'm sorry. And the trial court granted the motion in limine specifically. One part of the motion specifically related to this video, Your Honor.
The motion in limine only means you have to approach the bench. It's not a ruling on admissibility.
I would agree with you, Justice McCoy. I think that also sort of bleeds into another argument that I've made before the court about ineffective assistance. I believe the state's brief even makes my point in that instance where it talks about improper predicate being laid or the right questions not being asked by trial counsel. So I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I believe that all ties into the ineffective assistance that Mr. James received at the trial court level. Our second point of error, and I believe it's perhaps the most important one here, is that Mr. Akinlelu testifies that he had received a series of phone calls and text messages on the day of the shooting in September of 2008 from Mr. James. The Arlington Police Department detectives took his cell phone and they retrieved information from the cell phone. Trial counsel attempted to introduce the information there, and the court ruled that that information was hearsay.
For what purpose was the information sought to be introduced?
To show that there were no phone calls or text messages between the appellant, Mr. James, and the injured party, Mr. Akinlelu.
All right, so the complainant testified, I got a bunch of emails and texts and whatnot from Mr. James, and you were trying to get this SIM card and whatnot in to show the fact there were no such emails or texts.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And it was excluded because?
According to the trial court, because it was hearsay. And the
some
state.
Some things would be hearsay and some things wouldn't. What about the assertion by the state that because it was all offered and part was hearsay and part was not, then it's inadmissible?
Well, I think, again, that kind of bleeds into the other argument that there was some ineffective assistance there by trial counsel. But not only that, I believe the court could have reasonably parsed out the information that was hearsay and the part that wasn't. The main purpose of attempting to introduce the information was simply to show the jury that either it was there or it wasn't. You never really have to talk about what the text messages say. Are there text messages from Dwayne James? No, there are not. I don't believe that's hearsay. Is there a phone record showing that Dwayne James called Mr. Akinlelu? No, there isn't. I do not believe that's hearsay. And just even that minimal amount of information, Mr. James's trial counsel was not permitted to introduce to the jury.
So the existence of or the absence of the record is hearsay?
I believe it isn't, Your Honor.
I mean, that was the ruling, the absence?
Well, the ruling was that the information from the SIM card was hearsay. I believe that aside from introducing to the jury everything that was there on the SIM card, the trial court could have easily permitted the defense to talk about the log itself. Is there a message from Mr. James? without saying what the messages say or don't say. In this instance, the point was not to attempt to introduce to the jury what the messages were or who the phone calls were to, but merely to show that Mr. Akinlelu's claim that he communicated with Mr. James and received threats from Mr. James on the day that he was shot were false. Moving to the ineffective assistance claims, as the state helps me in their brief by pointing out, there are numerous occasions where trial counsel apparently lays improper predicate. As this court points out through his questioning, well, why did the trial counsel petition the court a little more vigorously in terms of trying to petition out what was said in the SIM card versus just the time and date stamps? I believe those issues, again, lend themselves to an ineffective claim. Perhaps even more important, there are 9 witnesses to take the witness stand at the trial court level to testify against Mr. James. Counsel for Mr. James does not question 5 of those witnesses. Even after a hearing where the court, after trial counsel makes a proffer and the court allows certain questions to be asked, trial counsel then does not ask those questions. Important questions.
Hoover asked the questions, didn't he?
Well, that was actually Mr. Spain's attorney. That was not Mr. James's attorney.
But often lawyers adopt the questions of another lawyer in the answers.
I believe that in this instance it was particularly harmful because, again, you have Mr. Spain, and I hadn't pointed this out, you have Mr. Spain, who has significantly more criminal history than Mr. James. You have Mr. Spain, who I believe is not eligible for probation if convicted of the aggravated assault with the deadly weapon charge, where Mr. James is. And trial counsel never makes a point to argue to the jury that these two men are to be treated separately. They are to be viewed separately. And you can find one man guilty and the other man not guilty. I believe what trial counsel did in this instance was to delegate her responsibility to her client, to the co-defendant's client, to the co-defendant's counsel, and they may very well have had separate and distinct interests in this particular case.
You said there were 9 witnesses, and she didn't.
She didn't.
7.
5, Your Honor.
Oh, 5. Okay. Well, did she examine the other 4?
Yes, Your Honor.
So they split it more or less. Or 5 and 4.
Well, there are some witnesses, if I recall, and I'm sure the state will point out if I'm wrong, if I recall, there are some witnesses where they each cross-examined the witness, but there are other witnesses where Mr. James's trial counsel did not cross-examine those people at all.
There are some witnesses you don't want to touch. I mean, if mom's on the stand in tears about what a loss she had, you're not going to cross-examine that person. So were these eyewitness type person,
we're talking about detectives. We're even talking about Mr. Akinlelu after the trial court changed its ruling to limit certain lines of questioning, where the trial counsel for Mr. James then did not even come back and make use of that limited line of questioning.
I understand that one of the reasons the cell phone information wasn't allowed was lack of proper authentication.
Well, that is an argument that the state raises in its brief, but the record is not admitted clearly because it's deemed to be hearsay. So in this instance, you have a cell phone SIM card. It's taken by a detective, uses a computer to copy everything that's on that information and that's on that SIM card, and the defense simply wants to use the information gathered by the state and by its agent to show that the claim of the state's complaining witness or of the injured party in this instance are not accurate. The trial court rules that information is hearsay, and I believe that there are so many other opportunities to get that information in front of the jury, not in a hearsay format. The attempt of the defense was never to introduce the text messages that I believe, as the state points out, are from unrelated people. That was not the attempt. The attempt was to show that the text messages that Mr. Akinlelu claimed to have received from Dewayne James did not exist.
Do you know if the state objected as to some reason other than hearsay? Because it won't do them any good to, you know, argue some point of appeal unless they objected on that basis.
To be completely honest with the court, I would have to review the record again. Thank you. I will tender the remaining balance of the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Andy, why in the world would the state want us to hold that the contents of a cell phone are inadmissible when that's what y'all use to convict people of possession of pornography? Drug dealing, because you offer the contents of the cell phones to show the drug transactions. Why in the world would you want us to hold that is inadmissible when y'all are the ones that use it? I've never seen a defendant try to use the contents of a cell phone to help himself before. You really want us to hold that the state shouldn't be relying on contents of cell phones for all these cases that y'all rely on?
This is distinguished, Your Honor, and may it please the court, opposing counsel, Madam Deputy Clerk. The distinguishing facet of this case is the situation you're talking about, pornography on a cell phone, things like that, are statements against the defendant's own self-interest that the state is offering into evidence against the defendant. That's a very different situation than what we have here.
So the state should be able to offer it, but the defense should not be able to offer it. That's your position?
They should not be able to have it admitted into evidence when it violates the rules of evidence.
Well, how can it be a statement? How can a text message from another person be a statement against the defendant's own interest? I want to buy drugs, or I sure do like your kiddie porn website. How are these statements against the defendant's interest when they're text messages from somebody else, and that's what y'all are putting in evidence?
Well, in the situation you described, the defendant would have received this, I want to buy drugs, or I want to buy, I like your kiddie porn website. That's not the defendant's own statement that's being offered by the state. It's somebody else's. It's a third-party statement.
So how is it admissible?
I would argue, Your Honor, it is not admissible. That's exactly what I would say. And I would think that the trial court would, you know, it would be within her discretion in this case, because it was Judge Wilson, to say as much.
Okay, so you're telling us
that
received calls on cell phones are inadmissible.
No, sir, that is not what I'm saying. The call logs are different than text messages. And let's separate those out.
Okay.
There are really two categories here that we're dealing with. We're dealing... what they wanted to do was they wanted to admit two different things. They wanted to admit all the data that was extracted from the cell phone on the cell phone SIM card, and then they also wanted to have admitted a video camera recording of the detective scrolling through everything that was on the cell phone. Those are two different things. With respect to the first thing, the data obtained from the SIM card, it contained two different classifications of data. One was the phone logs, and this is the point where I'll disagree with the trial prosecutor, and if you remember reading the record, she classified that data as hearsay. I would disagree with her. I would say it probably is, because it is computer-generated data, that means when Justice Blyle calls Justice Dofano on her cell phone automatically records all of the things. It's not Justice Blyle or Justice Dovino programming that number into the system. The computers automatically do it. So that's all computer-generated data.
So you could tell from the computer-generated data that I was calling?
You can tell that your cell phone was calling.
All right, so had it been admitted, there would have been evidence as to whether or not Mr. James was calling the complainant or not.
And that type of information was actually admitted, Your Honor. It's Defendant's Exhibit 10. And it is Omar Akinlelu, and I apologize if I'm not pronouncing the name correctly, but it is Omar's cell phone logs. They were admitted as business records, and they were obtained from T-Mobile, and that is Defense Exhibit 10. So the phone call logs, as well as the text message receipts, not the substance of those messages, because that's something else. That is in the record. The jury did have that before them.
You're telling us that the information was already in the record that revealed whether or not Mr. James was calling the complaint.
Yes, Your Honor. And if you'll note, I believe it's on page 2 of Defense Exhibit 10, there's a looks like a handwritten note indicating a specific phone call is from Christopher Spain, for what that's worth, but that is in the record. Now, you get to the other subcategory within the information obtained from that SIM card. And those are the text messages themselves. And it's pretty clear. The appellant's trial attorney wanted the substance of those text messages, those four text messages, in. In addition, she also wanted to be able to ask Detective Wynn whether or not you found other text messages on there. And so the absence of those is something to downcast Omar's credibility. But it's clear from the record during the outside the jury discussion with Judge Wilson, where Detective Wynn was on the stand and she's asking questions and also subsequent questioning of Omar, that she wanted the substance of those four text messages admitted in evidence for the jury's consideration, and that's patent hearsay. The way I kind of like to think of the rules of evidence sometimes when trial judges have to face these issues is one of those conical sifters that our grandmothers used to sift flour and whatnot. And you start at the top, and you've got your authentication problems. Then you come down to here to hearsay and relevancy. And what isn't sifted out comes out the spout at the very bottom, and the jury gets to hear it. Well, the problem with the SIM card data and with, let's just deal with SIM card data right now, is there were some severe authentication problems. The detective could only testify that the phone was working correctly on the day he examined it, September 24th, 6 days after the underlying aggravated assault. But he couldn't testify that the phone had worked properly on September 18th.
How could the state ever prove that a computer or a cell phone was working or a camera was working properly on a date before it was in their possession?
In all of your future cases, when you want to introduce what's on the cell phone?
Or the computer, or the video camera.
I've never heard of a working properly authentication problem. I think to me it's your burden to show that it wasn't working properly, not their burden to show that it was. That's impossible.
Actually, no, sir, it wasn't in this case, because if you look at Omar's testimony, he is asked repeatedly, tell us about your phone, was it working properly on September 18th? And he tells us, I believe it's at volume 5, page 66, two times, he says, no, my phone wasn't working properly on September 18th and the 2 weeks immediately preceding. He goes on to explain that the phone call log was messing up left and right, and text messages that I had saved were disappearing. And so the fact that the appellant wants to come in and admit this information about text messages that appeared, the proponent of the evidence has the burden to show that the computer or whatever was recording that information was working properly at the time of the question. It's no different than...
I don't see how that's ever possible.
Well, we do it in DWI trials. We do it in DNA testing when we ask whether or not
the... You're in possession of the DWI video.
Yeah, it's your video.
You're in possession of the cell phone, not the defendant. Well, let's get on to the... Let's go talk about the sifter and the YouTube video.
Well, there... what's the relevancy? It's the trial court could have reasonably determined that
he says, I got no problem with anybody, nobody's got a motive to get me, nobody owes me money, there isn't a lot of money involved in this business, blah, blah, blah. And then he posts something on YouTube which directly contradicts everything that he just said about a defensive issue, that is, somebody else did it, How can that not be relevant?
Well, I apologize. I don't remember the exact portion of the record, but that was addressed in Omar's testimony. He talks about the music industry, the rap segment of the music industry, and there's a lot of puffery or inflated sense of self that is projected out into the community. You make up things that aren't necessarily true to build yourself credibility within the rap industry community. That's all before the jury.
Well, that sounds like it's leading a trial to where you're lying then or you're lying now.
And that was all before the jury.
Okay, so you still haven't heard why the YouTube couldn't. I mean, here's the question. Is there any motive out there for why anyone else would be mad at you? No. Is there any reason who anyone else out there would be mad at you the last 2 years? No. But the money in this case was enough motive for somebody to kill you for the $2,000? No. If he answers no to all these questions, and the YouTube video is contrary to what he just talked about motive and third parties doing it, how is that not relevant?
Or
some evidentiary reason it should.
Well, the judge could determine the probative value of that evidence was outweighed by its prejudice because it is so remote, it is so speculative. It happened 6 weeks before. It didn't involve the same defendant. Your Honor, I'm out of time. May I finish my question? Okay, I apologize.
That's why you're last.
The trial judge could have determined it was too speculative.
Did she rule why?
I don't believe so, but I may be wrong.
What was the sustaining the objection to? Which would tell us why she ruled that way, if you recall.
If I recall correctly, the initial objection from the state was that they needed to approach about the motion in limine violation. They approached. The judge ruled it was inadmissible, probably because of relevance. It wasn't.
The conference at the bench isn't recorded?
I think this was, Your Honor.
It was recorded.
Yes.
You just don't remember off the top of your head what was the objection.
Honestly, Your Honor, I don't. I apologize. I want to go back to a question you gave me the heads up on. Why is the motion in limine a prior bad act, the shooting a prior bad act? I'm not a trial prosecutor in Judge Wilson's court. I understand just reading this record and learning some other things. Motion in limine's are not to be violated in any way, shape, form, or fashion in her court. If you have a prior bad act or an extraneous bad act in her court that is not tied up with the indicted offense, you are supposed to approach the bench outside the jury's presence and let the judge know you're getting ready to get into this.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
And that,
why is it a prior bad act?
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor, for the reasons discussed in the brief, the state respectfully asks you to affirm the trial court's judgment and overrule each of the appellant's 3 points of error. Thank you.
Any rebuttal?
Just very briefly, Your Honor. Mr. Akinlelu, on the day of the trial, testified that he had problems with his cell phone in the weeks leading up to the shooting on September 18th. He testified at the trial court level that on the day of the shooting, to his knowledge, his cell phone was working properly. The detective testified that Mr. Akinlelu never made any mention of his cell phone not working properly, and that if it had been working improperly, it's something that he would have noted because he knew that the cell phone SIM card information was going to be a major contention in this trial. The improper cell phone defense, if you will, appeared at the trial court level that day. It was never told to investigators in 18 months leading up to the trial. And in fact, he even testified that on the day of the shooting, his phone was working properly. The jury was never provided with the opportunity to see the information from the SIM card. And as this court and as the justices pointed out, the prosecutors, whether they be for the state or the U.S. Attorney's Office, take information from SIM cards on a routine basis and put that information in front of the jury to help them with drug cases and kiddie porn cases and you name it. And in this instance, because that information tended to show that their star witness was not being truthful, they did not want the jury to see it. As such, we respectfully request that this case be remanded for a new trial.
Now, I was hearing you when you were telling me about that you wanted to show an absence of calls to contradict the complainant. I've been getting texts, and I guess he was saying I've been threatened and so forth. But he says that that was already in evidence before the jury.
He's saying that there's a call log that shows a call came from the co-defendant, Christopher Spain. The testimony is that a call came from Dwayne James of a threatening nature.
Okay, are you there's telling us that there is not a list of calls where one could look on here and determine whether, in fact, the complainant was getting calls from Mr. James? He said, I gather, that there was such a list. You could look on there and you could see no calls from James.
I believe you could, Your Honor.
And you could do that.
I believe so, Your Honor. I have not reviewed that list. I have reviewed it, but it's been close to a year. I believe that information is there, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you remember anything in the record that explained why the YouTube
I believe the
bad act?
I believe the court's main contention about the YouTube video being a bad act. It's because on the videos, and there's a series of videos from Mr. Kenlu, who goes by the name Big Hood Boss in his rap career, where he's making a series of threats to other people. But he's also talking about being shot at less than 6 weeks prior to the time of this shooting. And when he was shot at, Dwayne James was with him. They were shot at together less than 6 weeks earlier. And so the defense's claim was Mr. Kenlu has issues with several people, and there's a library of YouTube videos where he's talking about the problems he has with other people and things that he intends to do to those people and things that those people have done to him, particularly shooting at him approximately 6 weeks prior to this incident.
And was that shooting in the record otherwise?
Only in that Andrew Schuster testified that their vehicle was shot. There was no mention that Mr. Akinlelu was a target of the shooting, only that the vehicle was shot and that some Asian rappers had a vehicle that resembled the vehicle. That was it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We appreciate your argument.